the Rise Up See Red podcast, all about the Arizona Cardinals and the NFL, featuring insider and outsider perspectives. Enjoy the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Now here are your hosts, Jess Root and Seth Cox.
Hello, Arizona Cardinals fans, and welcome to the latest edition of the Rise Up See Red podcast. I'm your host, Jess Root, from CardsWire.com, the USA Today NFL Wire site, covering, of course, your Arizona Cardinals. With me is my host, my co-host, Seth Cox, from RevengeOfTheBirds.com, SB Nation's Arizona Cardinals site, and also one of the hosts of the original Draft Breakdown podcast. Seth, we're in episode 472, and sadly, this was kind of a worst-case scenario. Was it coming off the Cardinals losing to the Bengals 34-20? We kind of knew that the Bengals were going to come around at some point. I think you might have put it out in the universe, and I think we can blame you for it. I think.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds about right. I mean, it was just one of those situations. We knew what they were, who they are as a team, what they could do, and then it just, you know, got there, and it became untenable, and obviously it went from bad to worse today, as we'll get into, and things of that nature. But, you know, for the most part, it's unfortunate because you just didn't want to be the team that teams go to get right. Right.
Right. And it's kind of happened twice. Like, it happened to the Giants, only the only right part of their season was that second half. And then the Bengals got right. But yeah, what we're going to talk about in this edition of the show 472, we're going to break down kind of the bad and the loss. We're going to talk about if there were any positives at all, whether we need to reset expectations, and kind of talk about some of the injury impact, because the injuries keep coming. They just keep coming. The Cardinals can't avoid it. But yeah, 34-20 is the loss to the Cincinnati Bengals. Joe Burrow, not on the injury report last week. Apparently the calf was better because he looked like stud Joe Burrow, threw for over 300 yards, three touchdown passes. Jamar Chase absolutely lit up the Cardinals secondary, 15 catches for 192 yards. The 15 catches is a franchise record. It is the third highest yardage total he has had in his career in a game, and matched his career high in touchdown receptions in a game. Remember when we talked about how the defense was looking good? I don't know what to say anymore, because they're having a hard time stopping anyone. They had a hard time in the second half. They didn't stop the Giants in the second half of week two. Honestly, the red zone, they didn't stop individual players in week three. Okay, they didn't stop Tony Pollard. They did kind of limit the receivers for Dallas. But against San Francisco, no dice. They couldn't stop Brock Purdy, Christian McCaffrey, Brandon Ayuk. And while Joe Mixon didn't go off, it was Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase was the story of Sunday. And they just haven't. The worst thing is that they're not able to take away, they're not limiting their opponent's best players.
No, and it's, you know, a problem. And like you said, like the week before, Brandon Ayuk, you know, was 150 yards-ish.
Yeah, 6 for 148. He didn't score, but that's because Christian McCaffrey scored all the touchdowns, four of them.
Yeah, and then this week it was, you know, the opposite. And Jamar Chase had 200 catches for 400 yards or whatever it was, and the three touchdowns. And it's just becoming clear that the best players on the other team have their way with the Cardinals. And it's something we've talked about. I mean, the reality always was that this is a less than talented team light team, and it's coming to fruition against all pro type players. And you know, Brandon Ayuk is on the cusp of being one of the best receivers in the NFL. Christian McCaffrey's been the best running back in the NFL since he was traded to San Francisco. And Jamar Chase has already, you know, staked his claim to being one of the best receivers in the NFL. And so all of those things are not surprising. Like you said, it's a bit more disappointing than anything else, that you know what's coming, but you have no ability to stop it whatsoever. But we saw the same thing with the Rams, right? Like the Rams went out and gave up 12-141 to Chase. He's a great player. I mean, There's a reason he was all pro as a rookie, reason he won Rookie of the Year, and he's been a Pro Bowler both of his seasons he's played. And, you know, it's if you're going to pick a guy fifth overall as a receiver, you better get that type of performance out of him.
Yeah, and absolutely, they've done exactly that. Other disappointing parts in that game, I think it starts, for me, was the slow start. Because they had kind of, one of the things that they were done so successfully over the first 3 weeks of the season was their ability to get out quickly. They started effectively, and they weren't playing from behind for the most part, which I think has been the key to Joshua Dobbs' success. Dobbs looked like Colt McCoy did the 2 years that he was playing from behind. This is where you saw he is a backup caliber quarterback, and if things are going well, he's able to lead and kind of go from there. If you need him to rally you, that's disappointing. So first and foremost, 2-3 and outs to be at, you know, go 3 and out twice and to spot him 10 points when they get 10 points, the Bengals do, to the Cardinals 6 plays. And I know they bounced back, but the Cardinals, like what they did the first 3 games is that they have to do every single week. They've got to come out quickly offensively. They've got to put points on the board in the first couple of drives so that they're not down 2 scores. Right now it's becoming very apparent that the defense has now become the weak spot. Not necessarily because of anything other than they keep taking hits injury-wise. They keep missing, you know, they keep losing their best players. They lost their, they were down their 3 best defensive linemen. They were down their top safety. They were down the second half, their second best safety. It just, you know, over and over again, you can't, on a defense that was paper thin talent-wise, you keep losing talent, and that's bound to happen. But number one, they can't. Especially against a team like the Bengals that came in struggling so badly, you can't spot them points.
No, and you look at the other things. I mean, there's other things that you can look into here. And you know, the 3 and out's bad. And then you have a good punt, defended okay, and you get an additional 5 yards at the end. So, you know, instead of them being at the 30, they're at the 36. And you know, maybe it doesn't make a difference, but it did in this game. You know, then you look at the other situations and you see, okay, well, this team didn't force the Bengals to really make any plays in third down situations. And you know, the first drive was a 11-play scoring drive. They had 1 third down, and that was the one they scored on. That's just unacceptable. I mean, that's just, and then, like you said, you come out and Dobbs misses Brown, and then they almost Cliff Kingsbury like throw a 1-yard pass on a 3rd and 8, right? And you're like, what are you to Rondell Moore? And you're like, what is going on? But then what happened the very next play? You punt and they get a 28-yard return. And you're just like, what is happening? And then, you know, They do tighten
up defensively on the second drive after it looked like they were going to be down 14.
But yeah, they get the big sack by Kevin Strong, and that was a nice, you know, answer. But like you said, that still got him down 10. And then, you know, they make some plays. They hit some things. But for the most part, it was almost academic. I mean, I know that they took a brief 14 to 10 lead.
Then you're like, okay. But then no, the defense, it was the defense was just unable to do anything.
And again, I mean, you look at it, you know, Blake Gillikin, I don't know if he's just not a good punter or what, but I mean, you look at his punt, 62 yards and his return for 21 yards. You know, like I said earlier, he has a 48 yard punt that's returned for 28 yards. It's like, is he out kicking his coverage? Is the coverage just not good because, you know, they lack so much talent? Like, and then you get the stop at the one, you feel like, okay,
oh geez, you thought, you're like, all right, turning point, next play, pick 6.
Yeah.
What? That was just, that was the backbreaker because, you know, they get the fourth down stuff. You're like, yes, this is like the Dallas game. Pick six. And then this is where the Dobbs kind of unraveled from there because he got picked off. He got picked off again. He almost was picked off two other times.
Right. And well, and think about it. He threw two touchdowns before with, you know, over 8 minutes left in the second quarter. And then he just completely imploded. And like you said, defensively, it was similar to that as well. You know, they get the pick six. They take the lead 17-14. You've got a chance again, and you can't do anything.
Well, and that's where they come out right after halftime, and that
they give up
63-yard bomb.
Yeah,
and that at that point they were done. They really were. They were done at that point.
Yeah, and they cut it to 24-20, but you look at that drive. You know, DeMarcado 5 yards, Trey McBride 4 yards. Josh Dobbs, a 2-yard run. Rondell Moore, a 5-yard run. Amari DeMarcado, a 1-yard run. And then they have the singular, like, nice play for 19 yards to Moore. But for the most part, it was just run the ball.
Yeah.
And then you put the game in. I mean, and the real backbreaker was, they got it to 24-20. They got a stop. With the Kayvon Wallace interception on, you know, maybe a penalty, maybe not a penalty, who knows. You get a 41-yard run, you know, you're at the Cincy 25, and you can't get a first down.
Oh,
you go for it. You run a play like you have Kyler Murray and not Josh Dobbs as your quarterback.
And I understand, I understand what Gannon said about that. Well, and here's the thing. You know, it was basically like the pick six, the missed extra point, okay? The missed extra point made them go for it on fourth down, right? They don't miss that extra point. They kick a field goal, and the game is tied, and then, you know, who knows what happens from there. But they miss the extra point, so they're down 4. And so they feel they have to go for it with James Conner hurt and with it being like a yard and a half. That's why they didn't do the QB sneak thing. At least, you know, the run up the middle. They didn't trust their other running backs to kind of do that. And so they went with – that was a weird run play to do. It was well-defended. It was a well-defended play, but you feel like there could have been like any – 5,000 more different plays rather than that one that would have worked. But basically you miss that extra point, and that lost point leads to 3 lost points where the game would then be tied. You'd be 24-24. And then, you know, who knows what happens after that. But basically that fourth down, the pick six and that fourth down stuff, that was it. The Cardinals were toast.
Yeah, and they just didn't have the horses. And like you said, at the end of the day, there's a lot to lament about this game, a lot of missed opportunities to lament about this game. But the reality becomes there was a lot of opportunities that they just never took advantage of. And you know, this is a team that lacks talent where they can't afford to miss those opportunities. And that's what kind of came to fruition in this game.
Coming up next on the Rise Up Syriac podcast, of our Cardinals Talk of the Web, was there anything positive that came from this game? That's coming next on Rise Up Syriac. We're back on the Rise Up Syriac podcast, the best of Cardinals Talk on the Web. We didn't even mention how bad Marco Wilson was, but we're just going to skip on from that, see if there was anything we could take away from that game that was positive. And the positive was, kind of the bounce back. But then that was squashed by the James Conner injury. And then it was just individual performances because Dante Stills, he played really well. He shouldn't be playing as much as he's been playing, but to see him not only play but produce as a rookie, as a sixth-round rookie at that, that was a nice positive when they've got a defensive line that just keeps taking hits injury wise.
Yeah. And you know, Stills is a guy that, you look at and you think that maybe there is going to be some building around, or he can be a maybe not a build around, but a guy that can contribute strongly. You know, Kevin Strong didn't look bad. I mean, again, these are guys you probably don't want in the 40 snap range, right? But you don't have a lot of options right now. You know, so you have those two, and then Zaven got another sack, which is good to see. I mean, and that was a legitimate nice move, sack from him. So that was good to see for Zaven in that situation. And then from there, it is a lot of questions. You know, Gardeck didn't do a great job pass rushing this week, which, you know, he's not going to be a game wrecker every week. He's not as good as he has been. That's not who he is as a player.
Well, and you know, that spin move has been on tape a few times. I'm sure tackles are now used to it. And so
they're preparing for
if he sets up outside to then pivot and spin inside, they're going to make him try to beat them outside.
And then you look at it, you know, the other good in this game came from a lot of different things. I would say, I mean, I know getting beat by two touchdowns, it's hard to find the good, but there was. I thought Paris Johnson again continues to play well. He and Will Hernandez are really showing to be a solid right side tandem. You know, and that's an important thing, whether it's this season or moving forward, right? Those are things to build on. You know, I thought it was good to see Michael Wilson make a great catch late in the game without being targeted for that. I don't know if that's game script. I don't know if that was on Josh, what it was on, but you know, that was, I think you would agree, kind of unacceptable to have a guy that had been playing so well to come in and only get, you know, and two targets. And
that is tough. I always find that, you know, receiver targets is a tough thing, especially when you've got a guy like Hollywood, and you could tell. And I think especially when they knew that Chidobe Awuzie got hurt, that I think the plan was, we're going to attack with Hollywood, because that seemed to be kind of the focus early in the game. And I'm taking that as a positive, is that Hollywood keeps looking really good. Now, he had that terrible drop in garbage time, but you know, that if anyone who's not followed Hollywood, if you talk to anyone around the NFC North, nobody believes in Hollywood as a number one because of drops like that. But you know, he's showing again the reliability that he can cook. He's been cooking right now, and we'll see what happens moving forward, but that was definitely a positive. And him getting in a sort of groove before Kyler gets back, I don't know if there's a better way to help Kyler back into the offense than to have Hollywood cooking like he is right now.
Yeah, and you look at it, and that was a positive. I thought Rondell's usage was a positive, you know, something that we've talked about, that they need to find a way to integrate him into the offense, whether it's running the ball, catching the ball. He needs to be a you know, total yards type of guy. And I know people will say, well, he only had three catches for 26 yards, and, you know, we made fun of the one-yard catch. But for the most part, if he's averaging around 70, you know, 60 to 70 yards a game from scrimmage, he's having a positive impact on the game. You know, I thought you have to commend Amari DiMercato, you know, for a guy that doesn't get a ton of playing time, to have to go in and get the James Conner reps,
and
scores his first touchdown.
And surge, because it wasn't like his touches have been, you know, 2 yards, 2 yards, 2 yards. But then on that drive, it went 8, 9, 11 for the touchdown. And so you saw him starting to kind of expand things. And we're going to talk about the fact that James Conner is going to be out for a while. So we're going to be leaning on Keontae Ingram and Amari DiMercato here for the next few weeks. We need, like, these young guys need to do something, because it's not like we can count on, like, I don't know if we're going to be able to count on Tony Jones with a career 2.8 yards per carry average, or Damian Williams, who's 31 years old. And so
right.
the, I, it'll be good to see them, and I'm really anxious. I'm not anxious. I'm excited. I'm hopeful to see what Keyonte brings to the starting lineup.
Yeah, I hope that he can just stay healthy. That's my biggest thing with him, because it's been a bugaboo for him since he was in, you know, at Texas. But yeah, I mean, I think there were positives to take from the game, and it's not just us searching. I mean, before Connor went out, he was again looking really dynamic, and that's more the unfortunate thing. I mean, you're talking about a guy that had 46 yards on six carries. And you're like, oh man, this guy's gonna.
He ripped off a 35 yarder, and then you're like, nope, you're done.
Yeah. So, but you know, those are the positives, and obviously there's a lot of negatives that we can discuss, but I don't know if we want to go too down the rabbit hole of negativity at this point.
I think we've talked enough about this. So coming up next on the Res Ipsa Word podcast, Sylvester Cardinals talk on the web. Do we need to reset what we were thinking about the Cardinals? That's coming up next on Res Ipsa Word. We're back on the Rise Up Secret podcast, the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. It seems just a couple of weeks ago, we were resetting expectations for the Cardinals. So instead of saying, hey, this is a good, bad team defensively. And we kind of felt like, okay, they beat Dallas. They were kind of competitive against San Francisco. But then they got completely overmatched by the Bengals. Do we need to look at what we're expecting the Cardinals to be again? Or is this simply just a case that they're, when they face elite talent, they're just going to be overmatched? Which with the Rams coming up with Cooper Kupp healthy, you're like, oh crap.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about it on Thursday, but I was going to mention right now on DraftKings, they have a weekly special prop bet already where they have Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp combining for over 185 yards at plus 200 money.
They did it last weekend.
I would run to that bet if I was.
They did that last weekend because Kupp had 118 and Nacua still had 71, 7 for 71 and a score. So
yeah,
that one would have hit.
But you look at it, I mean, I think the reality is more, and something we're going to get to, but I think the reality just comes in that, yes, they're not a very talented team, but the talent that they had is now starting to get injured.
Yeah. And,
you know, we talked about the offensive line. Obviously, that was a big piece of it, right? But then you look at some of the other things. The defensive line. And that was obviously a big part of it. But now you're starting to see, like, key pieces go down.
You're down. Hopefully Ledbetter's back, but who knows what's happening there. You're already down Carlos Watkins, LJ Collier, Buda Baker.
Yeah, that's your top three. I mean, because
it's your best three defensive linemen, period.
Yeah, because Lucky Fotu was always a run stopper. That's what he was there for. You know, you look at it, now you're down James Conner. Obviously, Zach Ertz is still trying to come back from that ACL injury, and he's just not himself yet, which is not unexpected, whether it's the ACL or being 33, right? Like, I mean, those are both realistic things.
Yeah.
And then you look at some other things, right? And obviously, the Buda Baker situation hurts, but now Jalen Thompson went out. He only played 35 snaps in the game, and
He's an every snap guy.
And so now you're playing guys like
what they were playing is because they had, rather than the three safety situation, they were playing Wallace and Sacheré at safety, but then they had to move Antonio Hamilton into the slot when he hadn't prepared for that role. He was playing boundary instead of Keytrell Clark, and Keytrell ended up having to play in the second half. But that's just, you know, yikes.
Yeah, and so it's just, you know, those are little things that happen. You know, whether it's Kayvon Wallace, who's, you know, done yeoman's work trying to fill in for Buda Baker, and you know, he's Kayvon Wallace, he's not Buda Baker. Or if it's Andre Trashier, who's, you know, taking up more playing time because Jalen Thompson is having to play in the slot. You know, all of these things factor in, and now all of a sudden, you know, Thompson's gone as well. And it just becomes an issue of talent. And so, yeah, when you face the teams that are talented, like you know, whether the record shows it or not, we talked about it. Cincinnati is one of the most talented offenses in the NFL. And that's really what overwhelmed the Cardinals more than anything. I mean, yeah, 380 to 294 yards, but the Cardinals did a nice job of keeping pace, especially running the ball, 152 yards rushing. But something we know for a fact and that they'll never overcome, you cannot have three Josh Dobbs turnovers. And you just can't have that if you're going to compete. And realistically, you know, this was unfortunately the game where you saw, like you said, the warts that are Josh Dobbs, or why, you know,
even so, like, guys, if you thought that we're going to bench Kyler Murray when he comes back for Josh Dobbs, please stop.
Well, and you see, and this is, and you see why. I mean, you know, I saw you yesterday or the day before talking about the Brock Purdy situation. It's like the Cardinals are nowhere near that in terms of on-field talent to even discuss whether or not that would be something that the Cardinals could accomplish with Purdy. But also it's also something that they can't do with like a Josh Dobbs. So like Jess, you know, kind of said earlier, when you're saying, hey, Josh Dobbs, go win us a football game, those are the results you're going to get. Like, it's just, it is the results you're going to get. And
yeah,
you know, we've seen that in two games. I mean, we saw that in New York or against New York. And now we've seen that against Cincy, and it's just not what he does or who he is as a player. And it's, you know, it's not a shot at Josh Dobbs. It's just the reality of who he is.
Coming up next on the Red Sox here at podcast, Best Eric Cardinals Talk on the Web. Let's break down the injury situation we talked about a little bit, but let's talk more about that. What's coming next? That's coming next on Rise Up Sea Red. We're back on the Rise Up Sea Red podcast, Best Eric Cardinals Talk on the Web. Oh, the injuries. Buda Baker's going to miss one more game. It sounds like that he's on pace to return next week. That's kind of the hope. But now Jalen Thompson goes down. James Conner, it's official. We're recording on a Tuesday afternoon, but James Conner placed on injured reserve. That means he's going to be out the next four games. He will miss at least, with that knee injury, at least, he's going to miss the Rams, the Seahawks, Ravens, and Browns. Those four games. All games.
Those aren't big games at all.
But those are also games where having Connor was going to be really, really needed.
Here's what I'll say. And I mean, obviously the loss of Connor is probably second to Kyler Murray in terms of
offensively. Absolutely.
How important they are to the offense. But this is what I'll say. And I'm trying to keep positive on this. I think it's going to be cool to see how good this coaching up of the run game is going to look like. Because I do think that it's going to give them an opportunity to show how diverse and dynamic that they can be in this situation. And you know, if that happens, that's a positive. You know, and if they have success, any type of success, that's a massive, massive thing, because you just like you kind of just intimated, and the reality, we're truly not expecting anything from this running game now. We're hopeful that Keontae Ingram, MRE, DeMarcado can be guys that have success, but the reality is
it's gonna be not... So they might go from a dynamic run game to passable, because that's a different. We saw it in the preseason when Connor wasn't playing. Connor adds something. He adds, like, he's not one of the elite backs in the league, but he's an above average back who does some really good things in terms of intensity. And there was something missing when he wasn't in the preseason. And it was the preseason, but between Keontae and Corey Clement and Amari DeMarcado, they're going to need one of them to have some. They need to bust a couple of big ones rather than just be, because Connor, he does, like, he'll have a few short ones. They're more like 2 yard runs. With guys like Ingram and DeMarcado, you're looking at one losses. No gain yeah. yard losses, but you have to counter those with big runs, with explosives. And maybe we'll, and maybe with DeMarcado getting the reps that he did, maybe he can start showing that. But not, and Ingram has some skill that we like, but he hasn't been consistent with it, and he also hasn't been able to stay healthy. So who do you think? So I think we can safely say that at least for this week, assuming Ingram is able to practice a normal amount, that we're going to see the bulk of this is going to be Ingram and DeMarcado, with Williams maybe, and then Tony Jones. I don't know, like, claiming Tony Jones, that does nothing for me. Like, I remember him coming out of Notre Dame. We've talked about on the draft, especially because he's a Notre Dame guy. But what he's done in his career, that's just like getting any running back. I'm not excited about that at all.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to put it. He truly is kind of a jack player. And when you're talking about replacing, you know, like we said, the second most important piece of an offense with a player that's been truly just a guy thus far in his career, it's asking a lot, and it's also unfair to expect it, right? Like, unfair to expect it to be more than what it is. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, for now, I mean, this is obviously not ideal. Hopefully this is the Keontae Ingram coming out party. I mean, he is, from a talent standpoint, the guy that it should be, but I mean, he's got to do it at some point. He's got to do it on the field and stay healthy and play well. And just, he's never done all of those things.
And I think we're going to get Dennis Daly back this week. I don't know what that does to the starting, but it gives you a little more depth.
I was against, and I still am to an extent, because of how well the run game is working. But Elijah Wilkinson's been really bad. I don't know if he's having a negative net impact on the play of DJ Humphries, but it like that left side has been really bad, which is interesting, the juxtaposition to how slightly above average the right side's been.
Yeah. Garrett Williams, I think we might see him. I don't know what type of role.
Desperately needed.
I don't know what we'll see in terms of playing time, but if Jalen Thompson's out, they need the bodies, because Hamilton's going to be playing in the slot.
And they need somebody with some talent. I mean, that's just a reality of it. Like, that's not to say that these all NFL players are talented, but we're talking about, you know, the variance of elite football talent in the world. And the reality is the Cardinals' worst position group is their secondary, as stands. And so like we said, when Joey Blount is getting snaps on defense, and yeah, I was just five, but when he's getting snaps on defense, it's not a net positive for this team.
No, it's not. Hopefully that the Jalen Thompson injury is minor. Maybe he can play this week. If Jalen Thompson's playing, you feel better.
Well, and let me ask you this. Like, wouldn't you – better is probably a strong word, but wouldn't you be more excited if it was something in the vein of you know, Jalen Thompson, Kayvon Wallace, Keytrell Clark. I know Marco Wilson hasn't played well. Marco Wilson and then Garrett Williams out there. Like, all of a sudden you're like, oh, okay, this is at least intriguing. Let's see what they can do. It's not necessarily we're not saying this is a net positive gain, but
you're not losing ground.
Right. I was going to say, I also don't think you can possibly get worse than what we have seen.
Right. I think you look at it, Brock Purdy, you know, one incompletion, Brandon Ayuk, 148 yards, Joey Burrow, 317 yards, 192 yards to Ja'Marr Chase, 15 catches, 3 times. Yeah. I don't know if you can lay it. And you're coming up, you're going to be on the road against Matthew Stafford, who's, you know, Skip feels like he's going to throw for 500 yards and 7 touchdowns between Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing is, you know, We'll obviously preview this game.
I'm not optimistic about this game at all. I got a question though. Do you think that this is the week that quietly the Cardinals designate Kyler to return?
I was thinking next week, so after this game. So that would give them in the – I just want to make sure I have my dates right. So Los Angeles, and then he has 3 weeks. So Seattle, Baltimore, Cleveland, comeback versus Atlanta at home, week 10. That's a – you know, that's a 11-month from the injury, 10 months from the surgery. I think that would be kind of ideal because then you look at that stretch – while the names are okay, Atlanta's not great. Houston's obviously not great. You get LA at home, and then that at Pittsburgh game is probably the most difficult in terms of defenses you're going to face. And then you get the bye week. So it's like that's a nice little four-game stretch. Like you said, if James Conner's healthy, I think it's a little bit different. I truly do. But with him – you know, obviously not healthy. You're just kind of like, I don't necessarily know if we need to push that or push that envelope at that time.
Okay. With that, let's wrap up this edition of the Rise of Syria podcast, Best Year of Cardinals Talk. And we will be back on a show. You'll hear it on Friday, unless you download it later. But we'll record on Tuesday. The episode will drop Friday of our preview picks and prop bets show about the Rams game. I'm working on getting a Rams guest. Hopefully that'll pan out. But that's Seth Cox. I'm Jess Root. Thanks for listening. We'll be back again in a couple days.
Thanks for listening to the latest edition of the Rise Up See Red podcast. Listen to previous episodes and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Audioboom, or many other podcast platforms so shows are delivered directly to your mobile device. Please give the show a 5-star rating and always support the sponsors who support the show. We'll be back soon for the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Rise Up Red Sea, Be Red Sea Red, and of course, Rise Up See Red.
Rise up! Rise! Rise!